You've heard us talk about David Femininio, injury attorney deluxe. Well, just listen to some of the results David has delivered for his clients. $3.5 million, $5 million, how about $11.5 million? Almost enough to cover Ohio State's NIL. You need an attorney that'll fight relentlessly for you. Call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH. Go to that website anytime at getdavidgetpaid.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's touch the table on some football. A lot going on with the NFL post-trade deadline. David Music.
You're right, there is a lot going on post-NFL trade deadline. We will wrap that up in a second, but there's a couple things I want to get to first here, because there's an interesting quote here from the Browns GM. He was asked if the possibility that Watson will come back and play quarterback for the Browns. His quote, "Yeah, I think that's always possible." First of all, he's on a guaranteed contract. Your dead cap will be $172 million next year. Are they really just going to sit him on the bench and pay him $172 million next year?
No. Rico, you want to take lead?
Yeah, they're not going to sit him, David. I thought maybe Jameis could usurp him and take the job, but Jameis came back down to earth. You got no other choices. So, yes, eventually you're just going to spin the wheel and hope that one of these guys can lead you to victory. Of course he's going to be back.
For me, I think it's bad leadership on his part. I think the way you answer the question is you just say straight up, he's got such a long road injury-wise. Guys, I'm not ready to address that right now. We'll focus on his health. We got a season to finish. We'll deal with that in the offseason. I think when you answer things like that, you just open up so much speculation. But again, maybe I'm just overly critical of it.
So let's get to Marvin Harrison Jr., because there's also a quote from him. Yes. He was talking about some things. They asked him a question, and he said, quote, "I just want to be great so bad that it constantly pushes him forward." He said, "I just want to be successful." What is really the problem there in Arizona with their usage of him?
I think that it's a bad combination between him and Kyler Murray, because both guys are weird. And that's not like weird in a bad way. Like, you know, they're both kind of aloof, where you needed one to kind of be the alpha and say, "Hey, we're going to get good. Me and you are going to practice." You got Murray doing the call of duty, and you got Marvin Harrison, who's Mike, just covering him from Ohio State. He's a different kind of cat. Putting those two together, I don't even know if outside of football they've spent 10 minutes together in the same room.
Here's the thing. They're winning without him. So it's a little bit of a difficult situation. So, look, I think long-term, clearly, he's going to be a very good football player. But in the short term, they're not going to upset the apple cart of what they're doing. They're winning. And I look, if I had to bet, will Harrison have a breakout back half of the season? My answer would be yes. There's too much pedigree, too much talent, too much. It'll happen. He's still a rookie, so I'm willing to be a little more patient.
And then what I'll do here is I'll ask a question, because I know what Rico's philosophy is here on wide receivers being drafted in the first round. They're a dime a dozen. But with you, what you're seeing this year is not a lot having an impact immediately. So, Mike, are you leaning towards Rico's idea of basically not drafting them in the first round?
It's just such a case-by-case thing for me. But overall, I do think Rico might be onto something. How about that? I'm not trying to cop out, but sometimes certain prospects, it does jump out at you where you go, you know what? Nope, this dude's different.
Yeah, Julio, Chase.
Yeah, right. Rico is on to something, though. He is.
Right, there's a couple of guys that you just know, yep, you're going to take him within the top five picks, but when there's five of them coming out.
Okay, let me give you a real-life example that's very personal to me. Does Malik Nabers affect winning?
No.
What would have had a bigger effect for the Giants? Drafting an elite tackle? Or an elite pass rusher? Or an elite corner? Mm-hmm. Or Malik Nabers? So to Rico's point, like the wide receiver is not going to lift you out of the depths. Right. I think they're nice to have, and you can find them later. My opinion up top is if you're not taking a quarterback, you take a big person.
Yes.
I want big people that can hurt people.
A tackle or, you know, a defensive edge, a rush edge. Because here's the thing. The wide receiver, the rookie wide receiver, you could probably say it has the biggest impact, came late in the draft. I mean, late in the first round, Xavier Worthy.
Sure.
Or Keon Coleman, who came in the second round. Why? They have quarterbacks. So you can't have a bad team and a new receiver and expect a lot out of that person.
You're not wrong. I hate saying it. You're not wrong.
So let's get to this conversation here. This is to kind of lean into the post-draft situation, which was Bryce Young has just now been named the starter again for this Sunday. But there was a report out there that multiple teams reached out regarding Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson, also for the Indianapolis Colts. They didn't trade them, but does that lean to they'll be moving on from both of these guys in the offseason?
Yes. Now, for the Colts, it'll be more difficult because they might be a playoff team. But for Carolina, guys, there's precedent already. I mean, look how fast, you know, the Cardinals moved on from Josh Rosen. Mm-hmm. If Carolina ends up with the top pick in the draft and they have their choice of the quarterbacks, they're taking one. Yes. At least that's how I see it.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't wait 5 years. You don't let the quarterback develop anymore. As soon as you see, you know what, this is not going to be the guy for me, you just, we're going to go ahead and cut you. We're going to release you. We're going to move on. I mean, you think about the top pick that the Jets had. I'm blanking on his name, the quarterback.
Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson. Yeah.
Pick a Jet.
Yeah, you're right. But Zach Wilson, and he's going to, you know, we all saw his workout. And it was like, and then he was no good. You move on. I think you probably, Anthony Richardson probably would have went for a higher price because there's still a little bit of an unknown factor. He's often injured, but Bryce, I think Bryce is going to go down that road of a Sam Darnold where he's going to be a career backup for a while unless he strikes gold and gets to that perfect situation.
Only one team in the league has stayed with a dead guy for 6 years. Mine.
You just hate to see it. So let's close it out here because
he said pick a quarterback.
You're right, Mark Sanchez.
I mean, you're right.
Quarterbacks.
Christian Hackenberg,
Geno Smith,
Chad Pennington.
Keep going. I played his game all day.
So I went through a few articles, and of course, everyone wants to do their winners and losers. But there's just one of each I want to focus on here that I found interesting. The winner. The Chiefs' chance of three-peating. Here's why they say this. Because you saw what Hopkins did on Monday night. But what it allowed was Travis Kelce to hit 100 yards for the first time this regular season. It's opened up things in their offense, which gives their chance of repeating or three-peating a chance.
I'll agree with that because it gives you a viable option. Xavier Worthy is fast, but I don't know if he's a difference maker. But now you need to know where Hopkins is at all times, which means I can't just focus on Kelce. And he did benefit from that because now you're just getting that one-on-one coverage. You're not bracketing him. You're not taking him out of the game because if you did, Hopkins started beating you. So at that point, it was like, okay, the Bucs, we got to pick our poison here. And they said, I'd rather have Kelce because he's not going to at least beat us deep.
I hate everything. Both Rico's right. And the Chiefs are back.
Yeah, it is. It is nauseating.
Take me, Lord. I am ready to meet you.
And then the one loser I wanted to focus on was C.J. Stroud because he has faced a ton of pressure this year. They didn't do anything to fix it, thinking that their scheme can fix it. The Texans right now rank bottom five in both pass block win rate and rush block win rate. That's a loser.
Well, but here's the thing, it's like when you talk to Lion fans. I mean, edge rushers don't grow on trees. How many edges got traded at this deadline? All right, now do the exercise with tackles or guards. Like, it just doesn't happen. I think a bigger part of this is Nico Collins coming back healthy, which by all accounts he's been cleared and may play Sunday. They need Nico Collins desperately.
And also, I don't know if you saw their uniforms with the hydrochrome helmets.
All red.
Yeah. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. I like them a lot.
I do. They look real
nice.
I mean,
it won't matter. Hey, it's a good thing they're nice, because it's just like when you die, you're going to get buried in a nice suit.
No, they'll look nice in a win on Sunday.
No. Lions win every game by 700. I'm done. I'm not standing in the way of this freight train anymore.
Seriously, Mike, just 700? I wish you would believe in this team.
Alt line. Lions minus 19.5. Let's go.
I'm 21.5.
Okay.
Okay. Hater. All right. That is in football today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.